Welcome to season four of Your Next Mission video podcast. We have a great show for you today that focuses on United States Army Installations Command, and also known as MCOM. They are, as you'll see here, the Army's home. What a great video. MCOM's command team will tell us how they manage the day-to-day operations of all the Army installations around the globe and how they support our soldiers and family. It's going to be a good one. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, and your families. Thank you for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, and USA, for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and family. I'm going to say it every week. We love them, too. As I said earlier, we have a great show today focusing on the U.S. Army Installation Management Command, MCOM, and I'm so excited to introduce the MCOM command team, Lieutenant General Omar J. Jones IV, Commanding General, and CSM Jason R. Copeland, the Command Sergeant Major. I'm already pumped up just talking to you guys right here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, so Major, it is great to be here. And before we go any further, thank you. Thank you for your service, and thank you for what you continue to do for soldiers, soldiers for life, Army families across the board. It's great to see you again.
Hoorah!
Hey, so, hey, I'm just going to give you the hoo, just like you always say.
Hey, that hoo means a lot of stuff. Yes, I love it. Yes, I hate it. Yes, I don't want it. Hey, sir, before we get into all the details of what we saw in that video, what a great video that was. Would each one of you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? And, sir, we'll start with you.
Hey, thank you, Sergeant Major. So, Sergeant Major, I've been a soldier for 31 years. Career infantry officer. I've had the privilege of leading soldiers from the lieutenant level, platoon level, all the way up to general officer level. Have not had a bad assignment in my career, whether it was operational deployments, deployments in combat, training at home station. I love being a soldier and love serving around soldiers and their families. I'm from Ellicott City, Maryland, just outside of Baltimore. That is home for me. I come from a family of educators. Two of my three sons are currently serving today, as is my daughter-in-law. My third son is running track and cross country down at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia. And my wife is a high school counselor in our hometown at Maryland, continuing to serve, help young people figure out what they want to do in their lives. But being a soldier is a highlight of my life. And, you know, the opportunity here in MCOM to support soldiers and families and soldiers for life every day, I think we've got the best jobs in the Army.
Hey, sir, I was, you said you have 31 years. You're still working. I had 36. I was going to call you a quitter, but I guess you're going to still keep going. You'll probably catch up with me. Sergeant Major, go ahead, bud.
So, hey, SMA, I'm a little bit behind you all. I'm only at 27 years.
Rookie.
But I'm still pushing it. But I'm an interesting story. I'm from a Navy town in Portsmouth, Virginia. I'm an Air Force military child that joined the Army because I wanted to make a name for myself and do my own thing. Proud military police soldier, and that's originally how I came into Installation Management Command and the Director of the Emergency Service. And then going off and going back to the the MP Corps and doing my leadership time, but came back as a Garrison Sergeant Major and then worked through the IED, and now have the awesome privilege of working here with General Jones as we lead Installation Management Command.
Now, did I hear it right? The rest of your family was in the Navy and the Air Force. Is that right? And you went, and absolutely. so they probably don't even talk to you because you're in the Army, right?
Well, the Army-Navy games are really, really important, but the rest of them, no, we're pretty good, and, yeah. And they're proud that I joined the Army, and it's kind of the family business. It was the other folks that joined the Navy and the Air Force that was out of the business itself.
Yeah, I tell everybody that the Army changed my life in a good way. That's for doggone sure. Sir, Installation Management Command is a fairly new command. I really, 2002, that's when I was, you know, still in the Army. And I know that was created in 2002. Please tell us about, you know, the history of MCOM.
Absolutely, Sir Major. We talk about it here in the command is really four critical decisions from the Army leadership. And if you think back to your time before you were the SMA, you know, we did installation management at the local level. So installation management competed for leaders' time and resources with taking care of soldiers and families, readiness building. And so in 2002, the Secretary of the Army made the decision that we're going to centralize that. We're going to have one organization focused on supporting commanders in terms of managing installations so the commanders could focus on taking care of their people and building readiness. And so they stood up first Installation Management Agency, and that went till about 2006, 2007. And the Army is a command-centric service. And at that point, the second decision, the Army senior leaders said, this is working pretty well. And when the Army wants something to keep working well, they make it a command. And they went from the agency to Installation Management Command and stationed us here in Joint Base San Antonio here in Texas. At that time, my predecessors were dual hat it. They worked as an Army staff officer and as the commander. And they did that till about 2015. And they separated the two. The Army said, we want a three-star commander focused on managing our installations. And then we need a three-star leader who was working in the Pentagon, working the staff issues and all the important things that happens at the headquarters department of the Army. Then the fourth big decision in 2019, the Army moved MCOM, Installation Management Command, from being a direct report to the Army leadership to working under Army Materiel Command. And what that has really allowed me and my predecessors to do is to focus on our 80 installations around the world so that AMC focuses on all those four-star strategic issues, and we focus on making sure that our garrisons, our five directorates, have everything they need to support soldiers and support families, support the mission around the Army. But it is an incredible command. We touch everything the Army does every day and support it and hopefully add value to it at every echelon or in every installation around the Army. It's a great place to serve.
Yeah, as you're talking about that, I remember when I was a brigade and division sergeant major, and all the additional things that you had to do. I mean, I probably get the number wrong, but I think when I was a division sergeant major, on any given day, I'd have 700 people out doing stuff. And then we got alerted to go to war, and then who's going to do that stuff? And it's all about taking care of the family. Is Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to what the general just said? On all these things, when I asked him a question, I want you to make sure you throw your two cents in there, too. I'm not going to cut you out.
He will. Good.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm accustomed to that. But it just touched on it. Who does it when the units have to go out and do the Army's mission? And that's essentially what we are. We do this to ensure that those families that are back at home, they have enough worries. They shouldn't have to worry about where their care and services is going to come from. And that's really and truly what our command focuses on, those garrison commanders and sergeant majors out there and those civilian professionals, ensuring that there is not one thing that will stop when the service member goes off and does the nation's business.
Sir Sergeant Major, I think you already answered this question, but I'm going to ask it again. Mission, MSCOM's mission is to support the highest quality of life in the Army's families around the readiness for soldiers around the world. As I was talking just a minute ago, I was thinking about the budget of MCOM and all this stuff. Because I got to be honest with you, when I was on active duty, when they started cutting resources, the first place they normally went, they went to Installation Command. They start cutting our resources. So I was telling somebody before the show started that if we ask for whatever we ask for, you probably get 70% of what you're asking for. Is that, you can talk about the mission a little bit, what you're doing, but also the budget there a little bit too.
Well, so Major, I'll tell you, and you remember your time from in uniform. It is always about priorities, and it is always about requirements, resources, and risk. You're never going to have enough resources for all the requirements that are out there. It's just making sure that the empowered commander makes decisions about what risk we're going to accept. And I had that conversation a lot with our senior commanders that command the installations around the Army to make sure that with the resources we have, with the people we have, we're supporting their priorities. And we're not going to get to all the priorities, but that we are going to get to the things that are most important to them and the things that are most important to the Army, and that the risk that they and I am accepting, that we acknowledge, and it's a prudent acceptance of risk. And we're always having that conversation about those senior commanders, what's most important to them, and how do we support them and their priorities?
Yeah. Are they going back to budget, though? Are you still pretty good with your budget and everything as far as funding? I know you smiled when I said that the first time, but...
Well, I'm smiling. Sir Major, have you ever talked to a commander that said they had enough money?
No, absolutely not. They never want enough money.
I will tell you that our Army leadership, particularly, our chief of staff and our secretary are absolutely committed to resourcing the installations against all the other priorities the Army has. I find that they make what we do on the installations because of the quality of life and because of the readiness. We get the resources to accomplish that mission. Could we apply more to the mission? 100%. But I am very grateful for the support from the Army senior leaders and Under Secretary Wormuth and General McConville's leadership. They've continued to do that and project that going forward.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a couple questions that we probably didn't ask before. One is, what's the major issue? And this is a question for both of you. What's the major issue for MCOM as far as soldier and readiness or whatever? With the maybe one or two, top two issues that you have in your command? And
let me hit one, and then I'll talk to somebody to Copeland for his. I think it's infrastructure, Sergeant Major. We have 80 installations around the world where we have either a garrison or Army support activity supporting all the mission partners there, all the units there, all the soldiers and families. And our infrastructure, those are 80 small cities. And in some cases, when you look at Fort Cavazos, Fort Liberty, those are big cities.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be infrastructure challenges. And how do we make sure that the resources the Army has is going against the right challenge to have the greatest impact? And that is, we probably spend almost more than any other topic making sure that we're taking care of the infrastructure. And it may be training ranges that are out there, barracks, absolutely, working with privatized housing partner. But we spend a lot of time thinking about the physical infrastructure because it does support quality of life and readiness. And those are, I know as we send requirements up for consideration by the Army leadership, where those dollars go against those requirements are some of the hardest decisions that the senior leadership has to make. So that's probably one of our biggest challenges. What do you think?
Yes, sir. So absolutely. And the only thing that I would add to that is the commitment the SMA has on barracks. Yep. And the design and what we are putting in the barracks to take care of our soldiers and their quality of life each and every day. There's been a strong emphasis on what we are doing to assist those soldiers as they live in the barracks and getting that right. And then the management of the barracks. But my top thing that the CG has me working on is programming. What programs do we have for the soldiers that not only assist the single soldiers, as we just finished the Better Opportunities for Single Soldier training forum last week, but what are those other services and programs that we have for the families that are out there? What educational services do we offer, and how are we communicating that in a way that senior commanders know what programs and services they have on their installations and what the garrison commanders and sergeant majors' focus really should be on for their installation? Because you got 80 different places and they're all unique. What challenges are you having at your installation, and what programs are we offering that supports that senior commander and those soldiers and those families that are on ground?
Oh, my God. I tell you what, this next question I'm going to ask is for you, Sergeant Major. This is a good question for you. With over 80 installations in fine directorates around the globe, you both got to be really busy all the time. I'm sure I'm lucky to get you in the office here today just to do this show. So what does a day in the life of the Commanding General and Command Sergeant Major look like? What's an average day? And you both can answer that question too. Go ahead, Sergeant Major. We'll start with you.
Yeah, so SMA, I will tell you, it is very interesting. You know, I've been in Installation Management Command for a while now, and off and on since 2014. But I will tell you, my day is a little easier because I know why. For me, it starts with the why, and that's soldiers, families, and our civilian professionals that are out there, and ensuring that we're doing our level best to keep them safe, keep them secure. You figure they're communities. Every last one of these places are communities, and those garrison command teams out there, they're like city managers, to put it into kind of a perspective, where they're making decisions about how we can keep them safe and secure, what services that we're providing on that installation, and then why we're here. What we do that for, so that those units can actually go out and maintain the readiness and deploy when they're, you know, the call comes in, and that, as we said before, they're taken care of, their families are taken care of while they're out.
Yeah. Sergeant Major, you made me think of something. You know, when I was on active duty, one of the hardest things to do is to inform people, keep people informed about what's going on, all that stuff. Sergeant Major, I'm going to come back to you again. What's, marketing, social media, how much do you get involved in that? It's about, because with 80 installations, it's got to be hard just to connect with them. So do you do a lot of social media, probably a lot of Zoom calls, I'm sure, but a lot of social media stuff out there?
Yeah, so Digital Garrison is what we came up with. So each one of the garrison has a platform that a soldier can download onto their phone. They can click on that, and it gives them all the information that they need for that installation that they're going to, or the installation that they're currently on. So constant communication is the key. And as you mentioned, 80 across the world, it can kind of get a little hokey sometimes. We learned during COVID how to talk on MS Teams, how to use Zoom, how to communicate. But really and truly, it's mission command. We give guidance. The senior commanders give guidance locally. Those garrison commander and sergeant major are trained here and understand what it is that they're supposed to do. So that communication, and then really and truly word of mouth, social media, marketing, any way that we can. We go where the soldier and their families are. What platforms are you using so that we can communicate with you and ensure that you have the most up-to-date information?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to ask, guess I'm going to make me think of something else here while you're talking there. Family issues, the same way with families. How do you connect with families? Still do the same way in social media, stuff like that? I mean, that's always a tough one.
Absolutely. And then we have the professionals over in ACS that can, is one-stop shop. And then we, as we learn and we progressed on our digital garrison platform, three clicks, and it gets you an answer, or it gets you in contact with someone who can get you in a particular answer to a question that you may have. Understanding that, you know, you utilize MilConnect and Military OneSource and all of those different kind of things that's going to connect you to whatever garrison that you are going to. And then being able to click on Digital Garrison and hit the Contact Us button will get you some immediate answers to those questions.
Yeah, perfect.
So, Major, I'd add to that, just for both of us, you know, one of our mantras is no soldier or family should ever feel unheard.
Yeah.
So if they've got a question, they've got a concern, they've got something they need help with, to make sure it's, you know, all the resources, Digital Garrison, we have websites on every garrison out there, MWR website, et cetera. But also there's garrison professionals that are out there. You know, if there's someone that's got a question, they're new on an installation, they've got a question about childcare, you know, go see Child and Youth Services, and then we'll get the question answered. You got a question about spouse employment, go see Army Community Service. They got a problem with housing, go see the housing office. But our garrison professionals know that part of their job is to be there to listen to Army soldiers and families, soldiers for life out there, and connect them to the resources, just like Sergeant Major Copeland talked about. That's such a critical piece of our job. No soldier, no family should ever feel unheard.
Yeah, the other thing, just to add on what you just said, sir, the other thing is, if somebody asks a question, make sure you get them an answer. Whether or not it's no or yes or whatever, you got to give an answer.
You got to feel heard. It's important.
Yeah, yeah. Sir, how do you I guess you probably already just answered the question right there, but how do you manage and support soldiers around the world? I mean, I guess that's a way through social media is probably the biggest way.
Well, it's a couple things. So I'll add, you know, you asked about, you know, our day-to-day schedule, and I can't add anything better to what Sergeant Major Copeland talked about, the why. But I'll share with you, we do have a appropriate frequency of travel, but we're on the road a lot. But the best part of that is when we travel, you know, we'll spend a week in the Pacific, you know, during 1 month, a week in Europe, another month, and then just almost every week going out and seeing one of the 80 that are out there. But when we go, we say thank you.
Yep.
We make sure the team knows they're valued, mm-hmm. and we listen to them. If there's a problem we can take away and help with, or what I really like is when they're really proud of something, we can take back and share with the other 80. But that is why we pack the bags and travel around the world, travel around the country, is but first and foremost, thank you for what you do, and it makes a difference. But your question, Sergeant Major, about how we do it, the Army is unique among the Department of Defense in terms of how it does installation management, and it really works for the Army, in my opinion. So we've got those senior commanders. They command the place. And when they wear that hat, they work right for the Secretary of the Army. They're either Corps commanders, Division commanders and Forces Command, Center of Excellence commanders and TRADOC, but typically General Officer commanders. And then we have IMCOM. And our garrison's right there on the installation. They bring the experts. They bring the money in direct support of those senior commanders. Back to the earlier topic about senior commanders say, these are my priorities. And then our job is to take the expertise of installation management and the resources to accomplish those priorities. But that really works across the Army and works great for the culture, or the people-centric culture of our service. But then having a command at the four-star level, materiel command, here at the three-star level, right to our garrisons, focused on that, really works for the Army. And I think we've proven that as an Army over the past 21 years now.
Yeah. Sir, do you cross-talk with other services about installation or MCOM, about what you're doing, good or bad, and sort of share that information with the other services?
Yeah, we do. I think commiserate is probably a better word than cross-talk, but yeah, we absolutely do. As a matter of fact, I had my Marine Corps counterpart here in the office probably a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, just sharing perspectives, sharing lessons learned. And at least once a year, if not twice a year, we all get together at a conference, and the opportunity for us to just share those lessons learned and share, you know, where we got friction points and how we're working through them. I have found that invaluable. You know, I command at the Military District of Washington as a Major General, and that interaction with my other service counterparts was invaluable. And I have found the exact same thing here.
Yeah, sir. Sir, Sergeant Major, I want to get into the MCOM's four competencies, but before we do that, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Lieutenant General Omar J. Jones IV, Commanding General, and CSM Jason R. Copeland, Command Sergeant Major, U.S. Army Installation Management Command, MCOM, and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. I always love saying that. And don't forget, if you enjoyed this discussion, I know that you have, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. Sir, would you tell us a little bit about your four competencies? And Sergeant Major, feel free to join, chime in there anytime you want.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. And so when you go back to our mission, you know, to support senior commanders with the quality of life for Army people and the readiness of our Army. And it really breaks down to four things we do for the Army across the board. And the first one is soldier and family programs. You know, people are the number one priority for the Army. The Army is people. So how do we make sure we deliver those programs that support that quality of life for the folks that are serving today, the soldiers for life that have served previously and continue to serve, but also to inspire those Americans who want to come join the Army, and they see how the Army makes sure it provides that quality of life for soldiers and Army families. Yeah. I mean, some of the things we do there, Sergeant Major?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so along those lines is kind of what we talked about before in the programming and linking an office or a building or an agency with the service that they provide, just to make sure that communication is across the way, so that they know, whether it be the financial readiness that they need, services as far as that. The CG mentioned the CDC and the child and youth services programs. A lot of those things are at the forefront of what we are seeing the young families need, along with the housing and ensuring that they can get into the housing and the using the lending closets so that they're not paying out of pocket and a lot for things that they need as they get settled into those installations.
Go on. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to cut you off. Go ahead. You got anything else to say?
No, I was just saying those are just some examples.
You can see I'm a type A personality. I want to jump in there all the time. Anyway, but how do you get input from the people on the ground? I mean, like the family members or so. How do you get input about what the issues are? I mean, how do you get that information back to you? Say, you know, you're doing a lot of good stuff, but you may not be doing the right stuff. So how do you get input from the people on the ground? Sir, Sergeant Major, either one of you can answer that question.
Well, we'll tag team, Sergeant Major.
Don't pick on me.
It is that making sure that everyone knows that part of our job is listening.
Yeah,
Two ears, one mouth for a reason. You got to listen, but then also have the venues for it. You know, sometimes it is town halls. Sometimes it is our digital resources that are out there to be able to get feedback, through those means. The other one, and it's really been really catching fire across the Army in the past few years, both senior commanders and garrison commanders walking town halls.
Yeah.
They'll just grab some of their experts and just go walk the installation. And they will just talk to soldiers, talk to families, letting them know, what resources are out there. But again, listening to them and getting the feedback. And then we've got to do something about it. You know, just last week, we've had a big focus with the Army leadership on those digital resources, the websites, the app, to make sure they're most as useful as possible for soldiers and families. And so we put a call across the Army. Let us know how we can do better. And we got feedback from almost every senior commander in the Army. And that's our to-do list now. Okay, we're going to make these even better based on feedback. But you got to be able and willing to listen. And that's really, particularly in the installation management business, absolutely critical.
So
the only thing I would add to that is exactly that, beating the street. Doing what Sergeant Majors do. We walk, we go talk to soldiers, we go talk to families. The spouses are really, really good resource because sometimes the soldiers, they get accustomed to, hey, I need to get to work. I'm doing all of these different types of things. I have what I need to get by until such time as I can figure out what it is that I need or want. But the spouses are the ones who are kind of just, they're there and they're not going, sometimes to work and they're having to deal with all of the other challenges. So a lot of feedback from them, a lot of feedback from the soldiers themselves and then leaders. I pride myself on I can get the information directly from the source so that I can give it to the CG and we can make informed decisions about what policies and the effects that the policies has on the services that we provide.
Yeah, I got to tell you a quick story. I don't know if you ever knew General Zini, Anthony Zini. You ever heard of him? Yeah. So he was my commander and when I was in CENTCOM Sergeant Major. So we're overseas in the Middle East and we had a town hall and he got up there and he says, four-star gets up there and he says, hey, guys, you can give him a little talk about what's going on. I said, you got any questions? And nobody said anything. And so we walked to the door and said, hey, Sergeant Major, let's go. I said, well, I'm going to stay here for a second and see if they got any questions or concerns. He said, well, I just asked them. They don't know, sir. So he got in his car and he left. And I got up on the stage. I can't remember the Sergeant Major's name, but I said, hey, look, you guys have any issues? And nobody said, no. I said, let me tell you something. If you don't say something, it'll never get changed. An hour and a half later, I got out and I quit writing stuff down. So I know how that stuff goes. So go ahead, sir. Rest of your core company. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's with soldier family programs, clearly the first. But number two is the infrastructure that we talked about a little bit earlier. It is taking care of the Army's, regular Army's infrastructure. And so, Major, that is everything from what you see, the barracks, the office buildings, housing that I'll talk about here in a moment. But it's also everything underground. It's the utilities and the energy and everything that makes these small cities that are Army installations work, both today, but also going into the future. Mm-hmm. Housing, we spend a lot of time with housing. Most Army housing here in the continental United States is now privatized. So we work closely with companies, but our commitment as the Army is to oversee those companies. And I spend time every single week engaging with this company leadership to make sure that the housing they provide to soldiers and families is the right quality and that it is safe. And it gets back to that quality of life that every soldier and their family deserves. And While not perfect, any house that's not perfect, we've got work to do. I think we've made great strides as an army over the past 20 years in quality housing, but we're going to keep making sure it's the right quality going forward.
Pat me on the back, because I was in the army with the chief when we started privatization housing. That was a great decision, because we couldn't really, the reason we did that, we couldn't maintain the house and we didn't have the money to maintain, and it was falling apart. So sorry, man, I didn't cut you off. Go ahead, buddy.
So the same thing is the emphasis on barracks. We made a promise to the American people that we're going to take care of their sons and daughters and having them when they join the Army. And so we want to make sure that we have those quality barracks out there for those soldiers. And I will tell you, SMA, it is a chore and it is a challenge. But we are absolutely on top of it when it comes to the Army and the Army senior leaders and the emphasis that they have placed on this. I love it. We put some stuff in there for the thing. We do some pilots and we get some feedback from some soldiers and they're loving where they're living, and it makes them, you know, and then we're working on where they're going to work. And as we modernize our equipment, do they have the space to come back and work on that equipment? Or the office building that they're working in, that is quality, and they feel pride and they take pride in taking care of that facility, so that we don't get to a point where we got to go to social media to complain about what it is that we're offering, because we're already being proactive and taking care of.
Yeah, you don't want nobody to complain on social media. That just always turns out bad. Go ahead, sir.
I was going to share with you a story, Sergeant Major. So we visited Fort Belvoir probably 6-7 months ago, and you go check out the barracks. They've made a lot of progress locally and just improving their barracks. And we got escorted up to four rooms, the soldiers live in there. And so I mean, they were so proud of the rooms. Yeah. They were so excited to show the rooms and talk about it. We walked out just feeling like, okay, that's what the American soldier deserves. Now, the fact that they baked cookies for us before we got there had nothing to do with it. But they were just, you could tell they were happy. They felt safe. They were, bonded with the roommates there. And I walked away again, being the father of two soldiers. I'm like, that's what soldiers deserve. And that's, we got to make sure we're doing that all around the world.
You know, that really goes into, if you take care of them on those installations, they're going to stay in the service. Is taking care of the families. They're going to, but if you don't do that, I mean, you have a tremendous impact on the lives of all the families on those installations. Pardon me, you going to say something or?
Oh no, I'm good. That drove it home right there. That's our main mission, is to make sure that we're taken care of. And I take that serious. So, as a father, I know when I took my kids to college and I'm paying the $3,900 for that dorm room, why wouldn't I put that same quality for our soldiers here in the Army?
There you go. Sir, go ahead. Anything else about Corps Confident? Yeah.
No, I was getting number three, if that's okay.
No, go. I want you to get all of them. I'm not going to cut you off. So, I thought maybe you wanted to stop.
So interestingly, number four is one that's probably least understood, and we'll get to that in a moment. But number three is the one that a lot of folks don't realize we do, and it supports readiness and deployability.
Yeah.
So you think about when you would go down to range ops, when you would go out and you would see the folks in the tower helping in a multi-purpose range complex, you go to Task C to get training aids and devices. Those are all MCOM professionals, and we do that in support of all the units that are there to make sure that, when that young soldier shows up and they go to the engagement skills trainer, it's an MCOM professional providing that so that sergeant can train that soldier. The mission training center there to be able to, so that when that platoon, that company trooper battery is in simulation, MCOM professional supporting that chain of command. They go out to the ranges same way, and then when it's time for that unit to deploy, the railhead, the airfield, all of those things, we provide that in support of their units to make sure that the Army can do what it needs to do for the joint force. And, talked up front about what an incredible job this is, but the pride we feel in those garrisons supporting those chains of command so they can do what the nation asks them to do, just a critical responsibility that we have to support the Army.
Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to that, or?
When you go to a deployment readiness center, just understand that those professionals there are there specifically to help you do what you need to do to get focused on the mission, so that you don't have to worry about all of the other things that go along with that. So as we said, that's one of those things that it happens, and a lot of people just don't really understand like why or how it's happening. And it's those professionals that are behind the scenes, subject matter experts and all of that, and assisting in that training.
Well, I think most people say something when it doesn't happen. You know, if it doesn't happen, then they're complaining. Sir, go ahead. Number four. What's the last one?
Yeah. Number four, Sergeant Major. So base op services. That's usually where I get people scratching their head going, what are you talking about? And that is all about running these cities around the world. It is everything from groundskeeping and custodial all the way through fire and emergency services to those soldiers and civilians at the access control point, the gates. Making sure that our installations are protected and secure and all the law enforcement protection that goes on there. It is everything in between. And it is amazing when you go and you visit a garrison team and you talk about all the things they do, again, based on senior commander priorities to support the senior commander and all the missions that are out there to keep these cities running at the right quality of end, about quality of life, about readiness across the board. But that's our fourth one. And our garrison commanders not just bring the base op services that we do, but they work with our network partners, our defense health agency partners, all of those to integrate it together to make sure it's what the senior commanders want to happen on their installation.
Yeah, I don't think they've changed. Is the garrison or the installation commander, is it full colonel? At those installations or
typically, so the garrison commanders in almost every case, about 60 out of the 80 are full colonels, selected for colonel command, just like their brigade commander counterparts. We've got about 10 to 12 that are lieutenant colonels based on the size of the installation. Same thing, centrally selected. And then we've got just under 10 that are senior civilian garrison managers based on the missions of those installations.
Yeah. Hey, Sergeant Major, this is a great discussion. I don't want to take a break, but they're going to make me take a break. So don't you guys go anywhere.
All right, Sergeant Major. Thanks.
We got a lot more to talk about. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with the Installation Management Command team, Lieutenant General Omar J. Jones IV and CSM Jason R. Copeland, Command Sergeant Major. And I want all of our viewers to reach out to me directly. Tell us about what topics you'd like to cover on the show. You know, I tell everybody it's not my show, it's our show. We're a team, we're a family. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. I'll actually call you myself or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Sir, Sergeant Major, we're heading into our final segment with you today, but I hope you enjoyed just as much as I have. I just have a couple more questions, and one that I think is a great question. What's the motto of MCOM? I think that's a good question for you.
So, Major, I learned a long time ago that, you know, any organization you're in, thinking about what the organization is for is really important, because every organization does a lot of activity, but what are you for? Why do you exist? And that's our motto. You know, we are the Army's home. I mean, you think about it. I mean, in our introductory comments, we talked about where we're from, where our home is. And for most soldiers, home is an Army installation. You know, my three sons were raised in Army installations, and they say that. They were raised in the Army and have been on multiple installations, and that's home for them. That's what we do for the Army. That's our four, is to be the Army's home. And when I think about that, when you talk to most folks, you know, home is kind of an emotional word. You know, it's where you raise your family. It's where you feel safe and protected. It's where you go from to go to work, where you have a community. And we provide that for the Army. That's what installation management is all about. And so that as soldiers go and families go from one installation to another, they should still feel like they're home, because that is, goes back to the core values and the culture of the United States Army. And I think that is what installation management is all about, is being that home for every soldier, every family member, every soldier for life, every Department of the Army civilian. Yeah. That's why we're the Army's home, and that's our motto.
Cool. Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to it?
Yeah. So, I love that. You know, we all have, or some or most of us have that sign that says home is where the Army sends us. So I joke with the CG all the time and say, hey, sir, we got to add a whole lot more on that sign. Because we have a lot of homes that out there that we're responsible for ensuring that. So we just want that to be one of those things. When they're talking about home, they're talking about their installation because they feel at home there, whether it be serving in their unit or the services and everything that we provide, the housing and the quality of whatever it is that's there, that really and truly is the home away from home.
You know, when I was in the Army, we had for a while, they had motorcycle racing, motocross and stuff like that, and they had different things. What are soldiers and soldier family members like nowadays? I mean, I don't know if you still do concerts on the installations. What kind of, activities like that do you do?
Well, I'll tell you something, Major. Sergeant Major Copeland weighed in on this one as well. We work this all the time is what I say, making sure we provide something the community wants. Making sure that we're not doing something because we've always done it. And so we spend a lot of time working with the leadership, work with the senior commanders to what does that local community want to be able to support them? And we pick it from a morale, welfare, recreation perspective. We're still doing the concerts. We had great Independence Day events on a number of almost every installation around the world here earlier this month. But it really is providing that community where people can interact together. I will tell you that just as a small example, Joint Base Lewis-McChord, up in Washington State, they brought a public-private partnership where they've got a children's museum on the installation that allows an opportunity for the children to come and interact. It's got meeting space for some of the family members so that, whether it is a deployed service member and the family members want to be there and just spend some time together, or the service member and the family members want to come there together, and an opportunity for the kids to do some things there in the museum. Great creative approach. And there are things like that that we're always trying to make to keep up with that community need that's out there. What do you think?
Yeah. So I will tell you, SMA, the soldiers, as we learned from the boss training forum last week, they just want to do activities. They want to get out.
Yeah.
And we want them to get out of the barracks and go and engage with one another, learn from one another. And then so a lot of the activities are centered around not just gaming, but going into a place where they can interact with one another and they can learn what it is they're going to do. Surprisingly enough, karaoke is like one of the top things that they enjoy doing right now. And pickleball. We've learned now that
I'm in for pickleball.
Is on the rise, and they want to go out and do pickleball. And then, of course, you have your groups that want to do the functional fitness. So all of our gyms are kind of being morphed now into functional fitness facilities where they can get in, get a workout in, and then be able to go do other type in activities in and around the installation. But just being around one another, I think coming out of COVID where they were separated, now doing a lot more activities. And then bowling is still one of those things that kind of baffles us. Like, yes, the young soldiers still enjoy doing the bowling activities and all of those kind of things.
Do you still have golf courses, right? I'm a golfer. Cause
absolutely, Sergeant Major.
Go ahead, sir.
No, so we've compared notes, and I think it is a rite of passage for every Army child to be an expert bowler. It's just one of those skills you have to learn if you've grown up on Army installations.
Well, all the things that you talked about a minute ago, I suck at bowling. I'm a terrible bowler. I don't know if I could play pickleball. Now, karaoke, I'd give it a shot singing. I was singing to the guys in here a little while ago, but they told me to get another job. So I don't know about that. Hey, let me tell you something. Thanks a lot for what you guys are doing. You're making a difference. I mean, I always say that people like yourself are the unsung heroes. A lot of people don't know all the stuff that you do. But you make things happen. You take care of our families. You do a lot of stuff that, again, people just don't know anything about. So from this old soldier, I'm sure you get a lot of veterans that complain about stuff. So I've never complained, but from this old soldier, I just tell you, thanks a lot for what you do and keep up the good work. You guys are doing a tremendous job. Go ahead, sir. You want to say something?
No, I was going to thank you, Sergeant Major, and for all your listeners out there. You know, clearly, they've got an interest in soldiers. They've got an interest in our Army and Army families, and so I thank them as well. Please know that every installation out there has a garrison, and that garrison is ready, willing to listen, and is all about quality of life for Army people and about Army readiness. So let us know what we can do better to support people of this great Army, to all the folks that are out there. And so, just thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And you can tell we're both really proud of this command and both really proud to have the opportunity to continue to serve. And it's been great seeing you again and talking with you.
I appreciate it. Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to say you got any final thoughts, but I think you covered them already. You got anything?
Anything
else you want to say? Any final thoughts, Sergeant Major? I think the general got his already.
No, so I just echo the sentiment. Thank you for, providing your platform for us to get the word out. This helps with our communication and ensuring that everyone knows what it is that we do. We absolutely love this job. Like, the CG said it before, best job in the Army. And it's one of those things where when it becomes a passion, it doesn't even seem like work anymore. So I think that's the main message. Besides listening, we listen to understand, not listen always to respond, but to understand your concerns, understand what we can do better so that, as you can say, hey, I'm in the Army and I have a pretty good home.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, thanks for what you guys are doing. No question. The thing I tell you is I know you do a lot with the veteran community around the installations and stuff like that. So keep those veterans informed because, just because I got out of the service doesn't mean I don't love the Army. I love the Army. I'll do all I can for the Army till the day I die. But I appreciate, again, I appreciate all that you do. One team, one fight, we'll always be related. I tell people we're always related. The only difference is I'm not going to give you any money. I'm not going to share anything with you. God bless you. Thanks a lot, sir. Sergeant Major. Thanks to Lieutenant General Omar J. Jones IV and CSM Jason R. Copeland for being with us today. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for watching today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good review, but it's a bad one. I need that because I need to make this show better. You can also visit our nonprofit and corporate partners there where you can see all the jobs and services that are available that will assist you in your transition from the military. Please know, we want to assist you any way we can. I always like to say that twice. Please know we, the team, the collective team, that's what you are in the military. We want to assist you any way we can. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. I never thought I'd ever say that, but it's true. I'm out there with you. And if you enjoyed our discussion with Lieutenant General Jones and CSM Copeland, and again, I know that you did, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, please click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-113 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Lieutenant General Jones and Sergeant Major Copeland for really just joining us today. And I know how busy they are, but just being on the show is just great having on the show. And at this point in the show, I always give my final thoughts. I would tell you that if you're living around an installation, go meet the garrison commander. Go talk to them. Ask them how you can support them in some way. You know, our military does so much for us. They fight and win our nation's war. So whether or not you're on active duty or a veteran, go and help them. Do whatever you can to help them. Be involved. Don't sit back. Don't do nothing. You know, we're all part of a family, and we need to make sure that we take care of each other. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Studios, and of course, our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.